Blog Talk Radio.
Having a great Sunday, as I am. It's hot here in Georgia, and I heard it's hot all over. I want to say with Father's Day coming up, there's been a lot of questions asking about what men would want for Father's Day. So we'll get into that with the panel in a little while. I want to say hello to the panelists. Ron, are you still there?
Yes. Hello, everybody from Miami.
Hey, Ron.
Wow, there's
hello.
Bruce. Hi,
how
Bruce.
Am I too loud?
No, you're good.
Okay.
All right. Is Don there? I know that Frank is calling in from San Diego with 3 hours difference. I hope he gets the time right. Anyway, so let's get into some conversation. So, Bruce, I tell you what, why don't you lead us in what you want to talk about this week?
Frank is here.
Oh, boy.
Oh, hi, Frank. Mr. Traveler.
Frank is there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Frank, how are you? How is it
good,
in San Diego?
It's weather is nice. It's warmer today and yesterday. We're running about, I guess, 75 or so degrees.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
Beautiful clear skies.
Well, it's clear skies here in Georgia at the time. It's been flood raining all along. I want to caution men to talk to their sons. As men, we all have children, we have grandkids, we have nephews. But something happened, and I was a little. I thought it was very hard. There was a young man who wanted a job, and he went to a summer camp to apply for a job. But when they pulled up his record had, and the summer camp is for young kids and all the way to older kids, but when they pulled up his records, it showed that he had child molestation charges on there. He had a video of the charges that he had shared with the world, and so he had all these felonies. But then it also showed on his record where the felonies had been reduced to a misdemeanor. And so the young man was kind of distraught because he kept saying that his charges were dismissed. But what had happened, it seems, though, is that he was 18, and there was a 15-year-old girl who was put into alternative school because she was very promiscuous. So they put her into alternative school and told everyone this, that she needed to be watched. Well, she called him up, and he didn't know that she was 15, and he met her on the street, and she called him up and said, come over, and then, of course, when he came over, she insisted they do something. She filmed it, put it on the internet, and then, so he thought, well, that was cool, so, and then she sent him a copy. He of course, shared it with his friends, looking at, you know, look what happened. And so it finally got to the grandmother, and the grandmother called the police, had the boy put in jail, and now he has all these felonies, and so they reduced the charges to misdemeanors because the young lady had been the one to cause this issue. So they said when after a year of probation for the young man, they will clean his record so that no one will ever know he's arrested. But for that year, he cannot get a job. He can't do anything. So I'm cautioning our men to watch out for our sons in today's time. I mean, he's actually...
Hey, David.
You know,
his record will never be cleared. You can't clear something like that. when they ask you, have you ever been arrested, you only got one answer that's truthful, yes or no, you know. Excuse me for breaking in, but.
Well, you know,
been
I
down that road.
You know, I called an attorney to ask if that was even possible. Can you expunge a record for like that? He said if the court order knew that it was not his fault, the answer is yes. They can say within a year we'll just we can seal the record.
I'm a former security manager in the Navy. I'm a former security manager in the Navy, and you can't do it. It's impossible to do. That's why they have places called Naval Investigative Service, et cetera, et cetera. You can't do it. You have to answer a security question for the federal government, and it says, have you ever been arrested? And what are you going to say? No? You've never been arrested?
Yeah.
I don't care if a judge expunges that. And I know personally, because I have a background that accommodates that type of narrative. So, and I'm a former security manager in the Navy. So the lawyer is absolutely incorrect. It may apply for a civilian application, but for a federal application for security clearance, it will always be present, even if it's dropped down to suspicion. All right, it doesn't really make a difference if you've been convicted or not. The idea is you become, in the federal government's eyes, you become a criminal once you've been arrested, and you've got to explain your way out of it. So it'll be 50 years from now, he'll be still explaining that if he gets. I mean, he can get a security clearance if this narrative that you just presented is acceptable to someone else who makes a decision, right? But he'll always have to go over that narrative for the rest of his life.
And that's a shame. And I guess my whole point of bringing this up is we used to be, as men, very protective of our daughters. And we would, you know, but I think in today's time, we as fathers and uncles and grandfathers have to now treat each one, because in today's time, it is not like it used to be, and we need to protect all our. What about you, Bruce? What do you have thoughts on that?
Well, a lot of what Frank said from my experience is true. He probably has a more formal experience with it, but informally, what I've always told my kids, and the way I see it now is with this, if that's always been there, maybe in the past, checking into something like that where the person was exonerated or was found not guilty, it wasn't upfront and in your face. In today's society, with all the electronics and all the lightning-fast resources to find things and computers, you can't hide, as Frank said. Once you're tagged with that stigma, I hate to use the word, but that's kind of what it is, it doesn't matter if you're guilty or not. It's there, and they're going to see it, and they're going to form their own opinion, some without even asking you. They won't give you the chance to answer. They'll just move on to the next candidate. So what I try to tell my kids, even at the ages they're at now in their 30s, is this internet stuff and everything that's electronic and Facebook and all that, I just tell them, you know, you're adults, you can do what you want, but I'm telling you, try to minimize that exposure as much as possible, because it's just another form now where it's even more available and more accessible than even when, like, Frank and I or all of our panelists were kids.
Okay. Wow. What about you, Ron? You got any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think, you know, the saying innocent until proven guilty, I think it's actually kind of the opposite these days. And as Bruce was saying, you know, there's so much surveillance everywhere you turn. Big Brother is everywhere, and every move that we make is being recorded. I mean, I was in shock yesterday because I was having a conversation with a friend, and I said, let's go have lunch. Let's meet at 1 o'clock at Graziano's, which is an Italian, actually Argentinian-Italian place down here in Miami. And when I got in my car, my iPhone said 18 minutes to Graziano's. And I'm like, how did my iPhone know that I was going to Graziano's? And, you know, it's just everywhere you go, you have to be cautious. So, you know, the days like Bruce was saying, you know, when we as kids, you know, we used to get away with things, and now every move that anybody makes is being measured and taped in some form or fashion. So just my word of caution would be, you know, always be up and up, you know, and be as straight as an arrow as you possibly can, because if you're not, chances are it's going to come out in some way at some point. I mean, look at the guy that I forgot his name, but the guy who committed all these murders in California decades ago, and now because of technology, now he was matched to the crimes, and now he'll probably face the rest of his life in jail. I mean, technology and it's just unbelievable what's going on out there these days.
That's right. All right, I'm going to bring that to a close. I just wanted to alert fathers and, you know, everybody that we need to start taking as much care. You know, we need to sit down with our sons and have a big conversation about the real world out there. We used to didn't have to do that, but I think times have changed. We now have to do that. You know, let's change. I want to start on another point, because the president has a new attorney, and the new attorney, Giuliani, says that the president doesn't have to testify because he's above the law. Bruce.
Yes.
Do you think that's true? Do you think that's true?
I think you're answering your statement with one word. No, it's not true. No one's above the law, including the president. A lot of us have said it. Even in his own mind, he's probably true. But the thing is, this has gotten so twisted up. I think for Giuliani to say that is wrong, or to say that a president can pardon himself. That's to me, that's kind of a ridiculous answer. I mean, there's other ways to resolve this. He says he wants it resolved. He says he wants the truth out. So get the truth out any way I guess he feels is the best way to do that. But for his attorney or anyone else to posture and say, well, he can pardon himself, or you can't touch him, he's above the law. Those are the wrong things to say and to think. That's not. I don't think it's true.
Well, one of his ex-attorneys also said that Trump could pardon himself if he could.
Yeah, I heard that.
Do you believe that to be true? I mean, what do you feel about that? Can the president actually pardon himself while he's in office?
Well, one of the phrases you've heard, without knowing every inch of the law, it may be legally possible. I don't know that it is. It may be. I will admit I'm not sure. But is it the right thing to do? Probably not. You don't, because you almost leave it like, if I pardon myself, well, then what is he hiding?
Right, David.
Say, I'm going to pardon myself because I know I won't get justice with Mueller. Well, then figure out another way to get justice if you really feel that. But don't pardon yourself, then it leaves it wide open to what was he hiding.
Bruce?
Yes.
It's interesting. I was watching Meet the Press this morning, and Giuliani was on there, and the moderator asked Giuliani that same exact question. Can the president pardon himself? And you know Giuliani's an attorney, and he basically danced around the answer. I don't know if you saw it, but he basically said, he didn't say yes or no. He said the president would never do that because it would lead to impeachment. So, you know, when you have the president's own attorney, you know, giving vague answers like that, I mean, what do you expect?
Well, we all know, Ron, that the president is very strong-willed. He says, I know if he feels or knows or both, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm gonna say and convince people I didn't do anything wrong. So I'll go talk to Mueller. and they'll see it. Well, that may or may not be true. You decide yourself. But the process sometimes can leave everybody thinking you're guilty or innocent, even when you're innocent. So you got to be very careful. If everybody around you advises you just don't do it, then maybe he ought to listen to them. If they say he should in this fashion, then he ought to listen to that as well.
Yeah, and, okay. And I heard that they did say that the president wants to, clear this whole thing up, but he does want to testify. So,
well, he has the personality. I think you guys, even on the far left, will agree that I can do this myself. I can convince people. I'm in charge, and I'm going to tell them so. Well, that can get him in trouble too.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move a little bit around the table. I never really start off with Ron because he always fusses at me, but I'm going to start today. Ron, what do you want to talk about today?
let's keep the Trump theme going here because I'm really irritated. I'm really irritated by the taxes on Canada and Mexico and the European Union, the tariffs. And I heard Prime Minister Justin Trudeau this morning for a good 10, 15 minutes on Meet the Press. And he's not very happy with the U.S. right now. And, you know, we're like we're one of their biggest allies and vice versa. And I don't understand. Is Trump smarter than anybody else? I don't think he is, but why is he doing the things he's doing and saying the things he's doing, aggravating our friends? I don't get it. I mean, and Trudeau said that it's not just going to hurt their economy, their workers, but it's also going to hurt American workers. And actually, you know, I see, at least down here, and maybe this isn't directly related because it's too soon, but, you know, I've seen prices of things go up, but guess what? Since Trump has been president, my salary hasn't gone up. But yet, whenever I go to the supermarket, I end up spending more money than I ever have, basically. I mean, I buy a dozen eggs, and I pay $5 for a dozen eggs.
What?
Whoa.
You better buy your own chicken, buddy. Holy Christ.
I do like cage-free and organic.
Oh, well, then chase one down and tell him to lay you some eggs.
But why is Trump alienating our allies? I mean, does anybody have an answer to that question?
Ron, I know I've talked too much, but I gotta ask this question because you, Frank. Let me ask you the question, and it's not a solution, just a question. I tend to agree with what you're saying, but then if indeed with some of our foes and some of our friends, we're in a big trade deficit, let's just make that a generic person, and let's say it's a friend, not a foe, and we got a big gap in trade, how do we get to an even trade or fair trade? How do we move to that position? Because they're going to love the fact that they got a big advantage of us, and they're not going to want to give that up. How do you answer that, Ron?
Well, the way that I would answer that is there's always a way to fix deficits, and I don't think the way that Trump has done it is the right way because his language alone, you know, and just the way he talks about, you know, our friends in Canada is they're offended, and you know, that's not a way to treat one of our strongest allies. And I'm sorry, but you know, he's the leader of the free world, and he needs to choose his words, I think, a little more carefully. And you know, why doesn't he sit down with Justin Trudeau and talk through instead of sending out a tweet and you know, basically, excuse my French, piss off one of our strongest allies?
I agree with you on that.
I know
there's a right way and a wrong way of doing things.
Right. Frank has something to say. Frank, you wanted to jump in on that?
Yeah, I'm totally, as American, totally embarrassed by the current president of the United States. He has never been prepared or knowledgeable in any of the discussions he's had about trade deficits. He seems to think that he can be a bully. You know, it's an imaginary thought process. He's never fought in a war. So he really doesn't understand American power or American influence. And he seems to think that he can bully people into these situations, and he doesn't understand that the repercussions from that are going to be hardships on the American people. Because let me just tell you that, you know, I've been a member of NATO. Canada, we have more Canadians that live down in Florida and places like that than probably more than they do in Canada. So we've got a lot of trading partners. And what's happening right now is China, as well as some other countries, are increasing their tariffs on our goods. So I don't think that he's going to beat anybody up to trade the deficit. Now, this new tax bill that just got passed has put us in a significant deficit. You know, it's quadruple the ongoing deficit. So we've actually been going backwards, and these corporations that he's given this surplus to, they are basically giving it back to their stockholders and dividends and proceeds. Gas, where I'm at, is almost four. I'm in California. It was all for the middle gas, 89 percentile of gas is almost $4 a gallon. All right,
wow.
And I know it because I've been traveling up and down the coast, and it's so I put in a big, large SUV. I put $70-some worth of gas in the tank to fill it up at about 20, 21 gallons a tank. So I agree. You cannot. Let me just say this right here. We don't teach our. Do we teach our children to talk like the president talks, where you offend different segments of the world's populations by getting in their face, by calling them names? Has that ever been of any benefit to anybody that you guys are aware of? And that's what we've got.
Nope.
Okay, so we've got a guy that somehow missed home training, and we elected that person to be the 45th president of the United States. And we're going to pay for it, and we are paying for it now. There hasn't been many courts that have agreed with him on most of the things that he's tried to establish. And there's court lawsuits every day in the United States being filed against the United States government, either by people in states or foreign government entities. So and then he wants to, hey, come talk to me, and maybe I won't implement this tariff. And he's basically trying to say that it's national security. Well, let me tell you, when I was on active duty, I worked for Canada. I worked for a Canadian admiral as part of the NATO forces. All right. So our national security, they report to work every day down in Norfolk, Virginia, Canadians, French, Italians, British, various other countries report to the same headquarters that I do, work for the same organization that I do. So, you know, it's really, and we need these guys because part of our defense in the North Atlantic, the linchpin to that is Canada. And the North Atlantic is important for being able to fight the Russians, et cetera. So I think we're all jacked up. I think the president is all jacked up. I think his vocabulary is bad. I think he's an embarrassment. He's personal embarrassment to me.
Is Don on the line? Don, are you on the line? I don't think so. What about John? John on the line? Don't think so. Okay. So,
Jeremy?
Bruce.
Is Jeremy there?
No, Jeremy's at a golf tournament.
Oh, okay.
So let's talk about the 4,000 people in Puerto Rico that died as a result of not having electricity or water. Whatever day.
What is there to say about them? I mean, golly, I think the United States.
What is this?
We didn't take care of our own people. But go ahead, Frank.
There's an ongoing non-effort right now, which the same thing. Just do it on a slow basis, and more people will die, and we still got over 100,000 people without power that are on that island, and they're Americans. And guess what? Those same thing. You know, one of the earliest places I ever visited outside the continental United States is Puerto Rico, I also lived in Alaska, been to Puerto Rico several times, and, you know, a Puerto Rican citizen or a person from the Virgin Islands, American Virgin Islands, they serve in the armed forces just like I do. They bleed the same blood that I bleed. They're not considered any different than what I am, and I'm from California and they're from Puerto Rico. So they're, and, you know, by the way, there's more to Puerto Rican people that live in New York City area than there are on the island of Puerto Rico. So I just think that it's because of racism that we did not take care of the people in Puerto Rico like we did the people in Texas and elsewhere in the lower Mississippi Delta areas. So, and, you know, we don't understand the racism, because I was just reading some comments, you know, about from fellow submariners about whether they ever saw racism on submarines versus the rest of the Navy. And most people that are Caucasian, it's always a positive experience. They never see the negative side of it. Okay, that's the educational component that I think that people are missing. So people don't, you know, the Puerto Ricans see it, I see it, but a lot of Americans don't understand how that neglect interprets to being bad, and bad for that segment of the population, which they wouldn't do for another segment.
Hey, Frank?
Yes.
I'm not disagreeing with what you said, because I definitely do think that there is some validity to, you know, the statement that race probably has something to do with it, or most likely does. But I heard a shocking thing just yesterday, actually, in my local news here, that there's people down in the Keys in Florida, which, you know, were the Keys were pretty badly impacted by Hurricane Irma, I think it was. Hurricane.
Not Key West,
and they're still picking up pieces, and they're still living in FEMA trailers. And I'm like, what? You know, people right here in Florida are still, you know, not back 100%. So if that's the case here, I mean, I don't know what the problem is. Maybe it's FEMA. Maybe FEMA needs. I don't know.
No, the problem is that they should have sent the military out earlier in significantly larger numbers of people, because they had more people that were affected, and the infrastructure that they had was not as great as some other infrastructures. So that was General Andre, who did the New Orleans deal, you know, the wild general, Cajun raging general. He basically advocated that early on in the ball game, that there weren't enough people involved to help them. And we didn't employ them, and the president kept saying that things were working okay, and the mayor of Puerto Rico doesn't, the mayor of San Juan doesn't know what she's talking. Yeah, doesn't know what she's talking about. And so there we go. And then when somebody said, they had all kinds of lame excuses. Like one guy I was listening to the other day said, well, we couldn't pull ships up to the pier. Okay. And that was the reason. We couldn't pull ships or hospital ships up to the pier. Well, that's right. But guess what? You don't have to. You can build causeways to the land if you put the military and you get them involved right from the ship.
True.
You can put highways over the water. Okay. So that's the type of support that could have been used if the value of these people's lives was as important as it should be.
Ron?
Bruce.
About 3 or 4 weeks ago, I stumbled across, it was either History Channel or Discover or one of those, that had a segment on about the very thing you said at the Keys. And they were interviewing people and said, they're still struggling too. I think, to me, the point you made in that is, and that was very shocking and surprising as well. Plus, I worked down in Puerto Rico for about 4 years, working with the people down there and the operations and everything on a big infrastructure project, and found them, you know, delightfully hardworking, terrific people. Having said that, I think it's not so much racism that we keep overusing that word, and more definitively, it's, you kind of go past an area with, okay, you're the most important thing on the news right now. We're going to come down and show that we're there and we're going to get it going, and they do. It's sincere. But then if you don't have a core of people, whether it be the Key West or Puerto Rico or any place else, that kind of keeps poking somebody and screaming in the left ear of somebody, don't forget us, I need that. In other words, keep it on the top of the heap. They're going to get pushed aside. I had that very thing happen to me in my business operations down there. We got beat up. We had a small hurricane, nothing like just here, and we got beat up, and I had to go over and over and over and over and over again to get what I needed, or they would have just kind of said, oh, you know, just you become forgotten for a lot of reasons. I don't think it's always racism. It doesn't help that Puerto Rico is a poor community, is isolated. Those aren't excuses. That shouldn't matter, but it does. And there needs to be someone there in Puerto Rico that says, no, you're not going to do that. I'll be in Washington, and I'm going to sit in your office until you help us kind of stuff. You need to have those people that stay up front and in their face, wherever it is.
Okay, so I agree with you on the statement, but let me just say I don't think that racism is overused or overplayed. It is a fundamental building block in our nation. It's a fundamental operating system in our nation and other nations as well. And so, not all nations, but some other nations as well. And we who are white have a tendency to ignore it because it is part of this privilege system that we have if we're Caucasian. But, and it's hard for us to see it. As I was just saying, I was reading some submarine comments because a guy asked me, you know, basically you got 200 people that answered a submarine question. That, you know, it was one ship, aircraft carrier that had a riot on it in 1972. And have we ever had anything like that in submarines? And people said, no, you know, once you're qualified, you're a special breed no matter what your color is and all that. And that's not true. That's how we see things. We wax over it that because we only see it from our side. We didn't have any problems. A few people would say, yeah, when we went on Liberty, we didn't go together. We separated, you know, and things like that. Well, I happen to have been a minority advisor, one of the first ones in the Navy, and I was requested to fill that position as a part-time basis who was a senior officer in New London, Connecticut. And what we had is we had a situation where there was no hair care products, there's no minority barbers, and those are and they did discrimination in housing out of town, okay? But that doesn't affect any of you guys that are talking. That affects a guy like me, and it did affect a guy like me. And those are the type of the unseen things that are hard for other people to see. You know, for instance, Puerto Rico cannot directly ship in products into the island. And because there's a law, federal law, that says everything has to come to our mainland first. And so it makes it doubly hard to get anything, and the cost is higher just because it has to come to the mainland of the United States before it can enter the market of Puerto Rico. And that's the type of things I'm talking about. And lastly, I'll just tell you, this drug thing that we're talking about in California and elsewhere, when blacks were doing drugs, they were getting 30, 40, 50 years in prison. And now we've still got a federal law, but state laws are saying, yeah, some states are saying it's okay to do marijuana, so let's don't make it a criminal offense because there are whites that are involved in it.
Well, all right, I want to move out. Let's change the subject a little bit. Bruce, what do you want to talk about?
That's funny, David.
He told you. Let's change it. Yeah, that's a hot subject. Let's change it.
You're done. You're done, Frank.
Hey, I got the message, brother. I got the message. Like I said, it's an institution, guys.
Well,
I've been living in it for 70 years. I got the message.
I'll extrapolate on this a little bit more, and then we'll move on. Extrapolate, wrong word. Expand. Yes. I can't live in somebody else's skin. I can't, nor can someone live in mine. And there are some uneven things in both cases. But I've dealt with a lot of people up and down the social scale, up and down the racial scale, if we want to say that, or whatever, and I'm somewhere in the middle on wherever I am. And what I've always noticed, no matter who I work with, no matter who I talk to, no matter who works with me, to be able to overcome almost everything and end up with a quality way of life, if you're willing to work for it and figure out a way, whether the way is you get help from friends or you do it on your own, or whatever the case may be. I think what a lot of people tend to judge, maybe unfairly, but some people judge, is if you're not trying, you're sitting. And if you're sitting, I have no sympathy for you. And that's not an indictment. That's not an indictment of a race. That's an attitude. And because I've got a lot of African-American, a lot of black friends that are not African-American. I've got Indian friends and everything. And they work their heinies off, and I don't hear them complaining about anything. And I'm sure they do. I'm sure they're treated unfairly in certain ways or judged by how they look, and I'm judged how I look, but they may have a harder time. But what I always hear is, oh, yeah, I get this, I get that, and their attitude is different. So I don't know if I use things or not, but that's the answer.
I think you do have it wrong, okay, because you
well,
for instance,
that's your opinion.
Well, yeah, I'm getting ready to give it to you so you'd really be able to listen to it for a second, okay? I didn't really whine or cry because I live in a very excellent environment. I'm an advocate for other people. All right. The exact words you use is you sounded like there are a lot of people crying every day about being a minority who are happen to be Afro-American.
You got it wrong. All I'm saying is the people that kind of say, you know how I'm going to get myself to where I want to go? I'm gonna be self-reliant. I'm not going to come up with excuses or whatever. And if I need help, I'm not going to be afraid to ask for it. What's wrong with that?
Well, I'm not against that, to what you said, but I also, you need to recognize that not every person or most people can get through that to that level of success by using that modus operandi that you just went over twice. Okay?
Wow.
That's what I'm trying to tell you, okay?
And how do they get
I'm there? Well, let me just tell you, I'm successful, okay? And I never cried to anyone about a racial situation. I'm just telling you what I've observed that happens to other people, okay? I go into towns that are all white towns. I go into towns that are all black towns. I go into towns that are combinations. I go into different cities, okay? And I'm just telling you what I've observed through my eyeballs, and I'm also telling you that people that happen to be of different color to me see something completely different. And your conversation and my conversation are different, maybe because of our complexion. Okay. I'm not discounting that hard work will get some people through the system, okay? But some people are not going to get through the system through hard work. All right, and I know that.
Frank, you illustrate my point. You're someone that whether you think you've been wronged or not wronged, whatever the circumstances, you've worked hard, you've advanced, okay? So that's part of what I'm saying. But then if you were someone, as you said, you're trying to help lift other people or expose things to help lift them, then if you were a friend of someone and they came to you, you'd help them. That's, you know, or you'd connect them in a way that they could help themselves. That's what I'm saying. You know, you got to, saying, well, I can't do it because of this or this or this or this. Find a way, well, I can do it because of this and this and this and this. That's all I'm saying is turn it around. You're an illustration of that. You just said so.
Yeah, yeah. I've never cried about anything or even the game. I know how to play the game, all right? But you know, some people don't want to play the game because they can't bend that low to do the game, all right? And there are barriers to people's success. You know, I'm not going to ever cry about my level of success because I think I've done well. But I do want to make it a better world. And the world that we live in, you know, I could have foretold you that Puerto Rico was not going to get the assistance they needed to get. I could have also told you that the subject was going to be changed by the moderator, you know, because it's a sensitive subject and white folks don't want to talk about it.
That's not right, Frank. Don't generalize.
Come on.
That's
right.
Not right.
Hey, look. All right, let me tell you, with all due respect.
Don't insult a race by saying that.
Hey, with all due respect, I'm very serious about what I said. I believe what I said.
What?
Just as
I believe you believe it.
Just as I believe there's a God, okay? I believe that what I just said to you is the absolute truth. And I used an example today because I'm in a narrative, which was a nice narrative, because I was very nice. I just basically said that we had problems in those years. And, you know, a guy called we have these encounters, these racial encounters that the Navy made us go through. And so some white guys called it Watermelon University, right? And that was not the name of it, okay? But that's what it was considered, and people didn't see. You know, and this is in relationship to what's just happened this week with Starbucks as well in their diversity training. Okay, so what I said to you, I honestly believe that. All right, I don't need any aid from the government, and I don't need any assistance to eat tomorrow, and I don't need any help, or I don't need any affirmative action. But I really believe what I just told you.
Okay, guys, let me jump in for a second because I'm probably one of those people who don't understand how playing the game is low. I think playing the game is what it takes to succeed, and I wouldn't say that somebody who plays the game is lowering themselves to play the game, and whatever game that is they're playing, they're trying to be as successful as they can.
Stop right there.
Why?
You are exactly right. It's not a game. That's a wrong term to use. It's a method to succeed.
Right. It's trying to succeed. It's a level of putting yourself so that you're accepted by the general population of who is everyone so that you can succeed. And I don't see where that is lowering myself. Actually, I see that is just knowing how to get to the next phase, which is life in itself.
And it doesn't even have to be pretend that everybody has to like you. It's just to get to where you want
to
go.
But I think, and there are people in all walks of life who have to do that. I mean, I understand where everyone's coming from, but I also think that we always look at the hard part of it, but there is another piece to look at, and that is, what about all those? I tell you something that happened to me the other day that was very surprising to me. I was going, and I was in a very southern Georgia town, and I was going into a Chick-fil-A, and there was a man at the door, holding the door for everyone who came in. He stayed with it like 5 minutes, and I said, my God. When I got out of my car and went to the door, he opened the door. And when I got ready to walk in, he slammed the door and walked away. Now, I could see that. And then what happened immediately after that is a lady walked up to me and said, sir, I'm sorry that happened to you. I apologize here. I will open the door for you. And I said, no, that's okay. I got it. It doesn't make a difference to me. But so my point is, for as many people as there are who are fighting the issue, there are people who I think don't get the notoriety for supporting the issue. I think we give a lot of attention to the negative, but we have to make this turn around also at the top. I don't know if anybody understands where I'm coming from, but anyway.
David, do you have a window open?
Pardon me?
I said, do you have a window open? It was fairly hard to hear most of what you said. It sounds like you're driving in a car.
No. That's coming from area code 213, I think. That was it came up that there's something in area code 213. Somebody, there's wind blowing or something.
Somebody
213.
Can I add to what you said?
Yes.
Can I add to what you said? That sounds much better.
Yes, please.
Thank you.
Please do.
I think I tend to look at things like you do, and none of us are perfect, and we all know what happened to the one guy that was. But I tend to honestly, to my soul, to my heart, try to look at individuals as such. I don't care if they're black or green or red or yellow or white or pink. I try to relate, and I'm also challenged by the fact if someone wants to be a horses behind, wouldn't it be cool if I can be the opposite and either really confuse them, frustrate them, or have them say, oh, gee, thanks, and just get that reaction. I love that reaction. So, I'm not perfect at it, but I try to do that all the time, and I've seen just the reverse happen, what happened the other day that you described, and it's more an individual. I don't do it, oh, that person's black, so I should do something special, or that person's Or I'm white, so he should do something for me. That's not right. That's wrong. It should be individual to individual. And I know that's idealistic, but that's the position, the angle I come from. And it hasn't failed me in 45, 50 years of business.
One of the issues is the person that is doing the negative impacts a person's life. And the person who's doing the positive, there is no impact to the person's life. So I think that's the piece the world needs to work on fixing, because when a person is negative, and I can tell you as an ex-police officer, I actually saw police officers put spare guns in their cars so that when they arrested somebody, if they wanted a bigger thing, they would put that gun on the person. I actually saw that. But at the same
really?
Time, I actually saw, really? Yes, I actually saw police officers quite the opposite. I've seen who get to a spot and say, what can I do to help you? You know, there's two kinds of people, but the person who has that, the officer that has that gun and puts it on the person is ruining that person's life. The police officer who does good to the person, helping them across the street or paying their bills, their impact is not as big as the officer who's winning your life. So I think that's where.
You don't know that. You don't know that, David. I tend to agree with you, but. The kind effort could be just as impactful, but I understand what you're saying. Legally, the person that gets negative put upon him has much more at risk. I agree with you on that.
Right. They have a record. They have something that would carry them. It started out with me.
Right.
The thing with the young man. The young man was, you know, he had all these felony charges that were reduced to misdemeanor, but the court said you have to go for a year without getting in trouble before we expunge your record. That's what they told him. And so for a year, this young man can't get a job or anything. It hurt him, you know, even though
it'll
the court did
yeah.
do some good.
As Frank,
the court
as
did
Frank
some good
said,
by
though,
saying.
It'll probably hurt him for the rest of his life.
And that's the system. That's the system I'm talking about. Don't think you can get in the SEAL program and be successful if you don't lower yourself, David. Right? Nobody comes through those programs without submitting, okay? And that's what the programs are about, is by breaking your ass, okay? And that's what some of the programs in our country are about, is by breaking your ass. Now, I can get through the program. I'm in great health now. I've been in great health all my life. I'm a smart guy. So I know how to do that. But most people can't, all people can't do that. And those barriers
yeah.
that we put up, those barriers, you know, like, for instance, we just got through passing after, 6 or 8 years, we just got through doing Medicaid expansion in the Commonwealth of Virginia, all right? So we finally got enough people from the other side, Republicans, and I guess they've seen the writing on the wall because we've had, you know, Democratic governors for the last two governors. And what's happening is as these elections are coming up in the Commonwealth of Virginia, Democrats are taking these seats. So now Republicans have finally, after years, I've lobbied them for years about this Medicaid expansion. But, you know, that's not the only indicator. The other indicators are, is where do we spend our monies, you know? We have, like, for instance, we don't – since, you know, I was in the watch – I was in Vietnam during the watch riot, and we talked about putting – funding our neighborhoods infrastructure so we have better doggone neighborhoods, better schools and better – and what have we done, right? We still continue to invest our money in the same old places and the people that we're producing more people in prison than ever. And that tells you right there, Bruce, and others, that that's BS. You've got to come down there and help these folks to be successful. And telling them, you know, just to use it the old-fashioned way, the way that I went through it and you went through it, is not good enough, in my opinion. Okay, it works for some of us. You know, I can live out there in Alaska. I can live out there in the desert, and I can be I can doggy dog Mr. Trump out there. Okay. But a lot of people don't have those characteristics or health or ability to do that. We need to invest in ourselves. We need to invest in our people. We need to make fairer and more just laws and rules.
Well, and I agree with you, Frank. We need to have better awareness. I'm sorry. Okay. Better awareness, like you said, about the prisons. We don't just lock people up. So let's figure out a way to get them out so they don't come back. Let's help them. Hold on. And then I'd like to hear what Ron thinks about all this. He's been awfully quiet.
Ron just checked out.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. So it's the three of us.
Did you run him off, David? Did you run him off?
You did, Frank.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Oh, but
you did.
Unbelievable.
Frank. You did. You better feel
that
guilty.
And let me tell you something. That is so. Craig is the nicest guy. If you ask anybody,
God.
No matter what their racial race, that knows me
who's
personally,
that?
They will tell you
that.
They will tell you that Frank is a good guy. All I'm
that's
trying to do is bring
is.
The truth. Hey, all
that's
I want to do is bring the truth to you guys and put it on the table. Okay.
Oh, I better not have turkey Thanksgiving with you. You and I'd be sitting there till morning.
I'm also back to
well,
the point
if
of
you,
saying
if you came across
lowers your, lowers yourself.
If you came
true.
Across
submitting
that standard,
to, go ahead.
The standard BS, yeah, I would. We wouldn't
no,
be
no.
all night. If we was,
Frank, the only thing I was going to add is I've never thought for me, and it's my perspective, not yours, because I tried to listen really carefully what you said is, I see things as challenges. God knows we have a ton of challenges, and you did, and I did, and a lot of people do. And how you meet them is whether you success or fail. But I didn't, as David said earlier, I don't see that as a game or some kind of demeaning activity. I see it as I got to do this, or I should do this, to learn a certain perspective or be somebody in the field. So if I'm going to be a manager someday, I'll know what I'm talking about. I don't see that as demeaning. I see that as progress in my career or in my being. That's the way I see it.
Well, let me tell you what a guy told me one time who I worked for. I had a complaint in about an employee that I'd given some orders out to, and I was very surprised because nobody had ever refused an order that I'd ever given them, but this employee did. So I asked the employee, since I told you twice, who do you work for? And the employee told me that she worked for my boss. Okay. So I'm at an organization that only has one guy that looks like me in that organization, but I've been there before, maybe 8 years earlier in another capacity. Right. So I'm pretty well known, and I get my way, whatever I want. And so my boss came down after I said to him, we have a problem. And he was like you, okay? He comes down, pushes the air out of my chair in the office, twiddles his thumbs, and said, hey, let me tell you, when you look in the mirror, you don't see what we see. Okay, so that's how I act. When I'm in a thing, I act just like an ordinary, normal person in my capacity, whatever that capacity is. But what the people see in this submarine force command staff that I'm on with a 3-star admiral, they see somebody completely different, and that is a black man. okay?
But is that,
and that was the.
But Frank, yeah. In your mind, has that always been a negative to you that you have to fight always, always?
And guess what? Listen to me again. You didn't listen to me.
Okay.
Frank doesn't have to fight. Nobody messes with Frank. Nobody has ever gotten my face, probably never will, and get in my face.
We don't live closer.
My physical attributes are not the type that, you know, I try to stay in top shape. I'm in the top 85 to 90 percentile of athletes, okay? So that's been my whole MO. Excuse me?
Okay, we're getting close to like 5 minutes. I think we should let the Black Panther go away for a few minutes. I want to bring up something that I think we should talk about because it is for all of people who are who have lots of money. Something that has popped up that people are keeping up with is one of the things that happens when your country is in trouble. Wealthy people often are the first people to start shifting their money to safer havens abroad. Well, in the United States recently, people who are very wealthy have all been sending, they've noticed that there's a flow of money being stored in other countries right now by millionaires. Most millionaires are hiding their money everywhere else. So that is a number one signal that the country, or it's an indicator that the country is in trouble. What do you think about that, Bruce?
I don't have that problem. I don't have to worry about that. Do you have those problems? I don't have those problems. I wish I did.
So,
I don't.
But the problem is that everybody's doing it, that people are seeing this country as not being a long-term successful country anymore. So they have to dash out of the country, they're sending their money off somewhere else.
And I think different signals mean different things. Like you said, in the hierarchy of people, that kind of movement would say, uh-oh, what's going on? For you and I, if the fish jump out of the water, you may not want to go in that pond because there's something in there that made the fish jump out of the water. So, different signals for different people. I hadn't heard that, but I've heard that before they're trying to protect their money, and they're not protecting it here. So, you know, let's hope you're wrong, but you may be right.
So if people who are millionaires are sending their money to protect it if they have to leave, that means that they are fearing something is going on, and we who don't have money are not paying attention to it, but we should talk about it because that is something that's going on, and it's one of the indicators that your country or your surroundings might be in for a long-term, you know, it's the first indicator, but it doesn't mean anything's happening. It just means that it's a possibility your country is going to be in trouble. I know that, you know, on June something, the president of two countries, two opposite countries, North Korea and the United States, are supposed to meet and talk, which I find strange. But then the other side of that coin is, everybody with money are putting their money somewhere else. So I think those of us who don't have a lot of money, should be a concern for us. We should know the indicators so we can prepare other ways in case we can't flee.
There's far too many people, David, that don't even know that's happening.
That's true, but we have to let people know it's happening.
If you read
the Forbes, if you track the money magazines, you'll see that now there's more ads on foreign countries who are now accepting dollars. And the reason they are doing that is because money is starting to flow out of the country faster than it's ever flowed before, according to these money magazines. Whoa.
When a monsoon's about to hit, the tide goes out, doesn't it? Let's hope that's not
the case. Yes, it does. It does. Wow. So, what do you think? What do you think, Frank? Are you concerned? Frank's still there?
No, you scared him away.
Well,
There's
he's
our
gone.
We're at the end of the show. It's been a very interesting show today. I found out I was lowering myself. So.
Yes, you were. you were lowering yourself. That's not good.
So come back with us again next week, 6 o'clock on Sunday. We're going to hear a lot more conversation like this going on. I want to thank all the people that were on. I would like to thank Bruce hanging in there with me today. And so have a nice week, Bruce.
Yeah, you too. Take care, guys. Wherever you are. Bye, David.
Bye.